Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Now, in the book of Acts that we just read, that is the description by St. Luke of the day of Pentecost, when our Lord gave his Holy Spirit to the church. We celebrate this day today. And the size of the church at that time, it was about 120 people. And they had the 12 apostles as their pastors. That is a lot of pastors for one church of 120 people. Can you imagine if we had that many pastors here? It'd be a lot of it. You'd get a lot of attention. But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit gave the apostles power to speak in languages that they did not know. You heard the long list that Pastor DeBlick fought through. And it says, at that sound, the sound of their prophesying, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing him speak in his own language. And they were amazed, they were astonished, saying, are not all of these speaking? Are they not all Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in his own language? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. The apostles were speaking the word of God, and the people were gathered to see what the 120 were witnessing. And when they gathered, what is it that they heard? They heard God's mighty work. And there is nothing more mighty than the work that was just accomplished by God. He sent his Son to die on the cross. On the third day, his Son conquered death by rising from the dead. He did this of his own accord. And by his resurrection and by his ascension, Jesus the Christ offered man forgiveness of sins and newness of life. Nothing is greater than this mighty work of God. And here on the day of Pentecost, we see the Holy Spirit doing what the Holy Spirit does. We see the Holy Spirit coming to dwell among the company of believers who speak and hear the word of God. And by that gospel, he was calling, he was gathering, he was enlightening, and he was keeping people with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. They could not gather on their own, and yet the Holy Spirit called them by the gospel. And this calling, it's amazing to know what it ended up leading to. It ended up leading to an orderly divine service where Peter, as the pastor, stood up and he read them a piece of scripture. We saw that. He read from the prophet Joel. And then he preached a sermon. It was the first Christian sermon. It was the first Christian sermon where he showed the people that they were in need of Jesus. Then to satisfy the need of Jesus, he pointed the people to the waters of holy baptism. And there on that day, 3,000 were baptized. He told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, for your children, all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God is calling to himself. And those who received that word were baptized. And they, that is, all who were brought to faith by the Holy Spirit through the proclamation of the gospel, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching through the proclamation of the gospel, through the breaking of the bread and to prayers. That means that all of those people gathered around Jesus as he was known in the liturgy of the church. The liturgy being baptism, the apostles' teaching, the Lord's Supper, and prayers. And this gathering, it has continued from that day all the way through history to this day. The Holy Spirit continues to work even for us and even through us as we hear the sermon on this year's observance of Pentecost. Now, with that day of Pentecost in mind that we observe in the church today, I would like to shift gears a little bit. And I would like to go back a couple of years before that Pentecost. Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths. And on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Can you picture that? The crowd is busy, everything's hustling around, and Jesus stands up and cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. That's at Pentecost. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's our gospel lesson today. Let's break that down. Jesus calls out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." John records Jesus of saying something like this to a woman at Jacob's well, just outside of Samaria. And he told that woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have said to him, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks of this water out of Jacob's well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will spring up. It will be a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Who is Jesus talking to in this passage? Let's take a look at the woman. She was a Samaritan woman. But the passage surrounding this woman shows us so much more. She was a woman who was hurt. She was in need. She was hurt by some of the hurt that she had was caused by her own decisions. She had been divorced 5 times, and right now, at this point, she was living with a man who would not marry her. She was hurt by other people. She was ostracized, and she had to draw water by herself in the heat of the day because she didn't get along with the other women. She was ostracized by them. And this woman was living in a world of great, deep racial tension. Jews and Samaritans, they hated one another. They would not speak to one another. There was a saying by the Jews that it would be better to eat the feed of a pig than to walk with a Samaritan, and that was strictly forbidden. They hated one another. Jesus was talking with a woman in need of a Savior. Moreover, he was talking with a person who recognized that things were wrong in this world, that things were wrong in her life. She knew that she was a sinner living in a world full of sinners. and she knew that she was in need. In other words, this was a woman who thirsts. Jesus said to this woman, "Come to me." How about you? Do you thirst? When you look at your life, do you see some honest misjudgments that have really messed things up? Take those things and mix them with the blatant sins that you've done? I see those things in my life. Do you feel ostracized by people for not living the perfect life? Do you feel ostracized for who you are, maybe perhaps by things not of your own doing? And do you dislike the fact, and I know it's a fact in your life, just as it is in mine, do you dislike the fact that you sometimes judge others before giving them a chance? Do you look at this world as we endure COVID-19 and the havoc that has fallen upon us, both by the disease itself and out of the fear of the virus itself? Does the racial tension in our land, which is palpable, does it hurt you to your core? Do we look at this world and think there has to be something more? In other words, do you thirst? Jesus says to you, "Come to me." Jesus calls people who thirst for something more. Jesus calls people to himself by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit shows us that, thanks be to God, there is something more. The Holy Spirit shows us living water in a dying world. On that first day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit called thirsty people to Jesus through living waters of baptism. 3,000 souls in one day. And the Holy Spirit called you. Or the Holy Spirit is calling you to those waters of baptism. For in those waters, they are life-giving waters, rich in grace, into washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, he gives us himself. He gives us life in those waters. In those waters, we're united with him in a death like his, so that we can be united with him in a resurrection to newness of life with him. This life, it has nothing for us. And yet this life offers us everything. Nothing in this world quenches our thirst. If you went and got all of those things that you see in your advertisements, on your social media page, on the TV, if you went and bought all of those things, they would just make you thirstier. There is no ultimate job. There is no ultimate relationship. There is no ultimate cell phone, no automobile, no home, nothing. If we look at this world and our lives, we recognize our thirst. And Jesus says, "Let him come to me and drink." And he continues, "Whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." What does that mean? Rivers of living water. This means that if someone believes in Jesus, he will have a restored faith and trust in God, And he will have a new love for his neighbor. Jesus takes away God's just judgment and wrath. He takes it away. And then we, with Jesus, when we look at God, we see a God who holds nothing back to make peace with his enemies. We see a God who spares nothing, not even his own son, to make his enemies into his children. Children of the Heavenly Father. And this love that God gives for us, that he lavishes upon us in Christ, it gives us a love that cannot be contained. A love that wells up. And we no longer classify other people as friend, foe, useful, or competition. No, in Christ Jesus, we see each person as an individual that Jesus shed his blood for. We see a person that God's Son died to save. We love others as ourselves because the same blood that was shed for us, it was shed for them. And this trust in God and love for our neighbor, Jesus gives us as we abide in him. And we abide in Christ Jesus, just as the early church did in Acts. We abide in him through the liturgy. We gather around the baptismal font, confessing our sins, receiving forgiveness. We gather around the apostles' teaching. We read the apostles' teaching. We explain it and talk about it. We show how at the heart of the apostles' teaching always is the death and resurrection of Christ for repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we respond to these great gifts of love that God gives to us in prayer and in song. And through these means, Jesus lavishes upon us love that we cannot help but give to others. And when they ask us, why do you apologize? Why do you confess your sin that you've done to me? Why do you forgive me so quickly when I've done you wrong? Why do you give so much to others? When people ask us why, we look at them. And guess what? We recognize their thirst. And we tell them, hey, there is something more. We tell them about Jesus just as somebody told us. We've all heard about Jesus through someone who already had their thirst quenched. The Holy Spirit either used a friend, maybe a grandparent, maybe a parent, highly unlikely, a pastor, maybe a teacher, or someone that you knew to bring you to the living water of baptism that overflowed out of their hearts. And now, out of your heart, as you abide in Christ, flows that same water for your parents, for your grandparents, your spouse, your children, even your enemies. You can't put the love of God in a box, and you can't dam living water. The living water that began to flow on the day of Pentecost continues to flow through the church and will do this and will do so until the day that our Lord returns. And now may the peace that surpasses all understanding Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he returns for you.